doesn't happen very often that the first day of the week and the first day of the year come on the same day, but this year is one of those times. Today is an interesting day in our culture. Of course, we all understand that this is an arbitrary day. The first day of the year is something that man has decided, and we'll talk about how that came about in just a few moments. But in Genesis chapter 1, God does say, as he creates the lights to rule the day and the night, that they will be for days and years. And the way that God has done that is by putting the earth on an axis. Because the earth is on an axis, it takes 365 days for it to return to the point where it was. It goes from the north, then it comes back and goes to the south. And so we have the solstices and the equinox. And again, this is not a science class, but it's interesting how God did create these factors that we now use to determine years. And it's important, I think, from time to time for us to realize that God did, in fact, create the heavens and the earth, and he did create a solar year. And so every year, the sun starts at a certain location, and then it moves all the way to the south, then it comes back till it's equal, and then it comes back again to the north. And so right now, the reason it's winter here and summer in the other hemisphere is because the sun is now at that location, and then it will come back 2 hours, which again is neither here nor there. And let's skip that. I found it interesting that Julius Caesar is the guy who appointed January 1st. I wouldn't have thought it went back that far. But in the year of 45 BC, Julius Caesar decreed that January 1st would be the first day of the year. Why he chose that, nobody knows. The solstice, of course, occurs in the on the 21st. So it's about 10 days after that that Julius Caesar, for whatever reason, picked this day. And as I said a moment ago, it really doesn't make any difference what the day is, because in our culture, on this day, we have the year coming to an end and a new year beginning. And I've always found this to be an important day for us to sit down and just talk a little bit about the fact that one year has ended, and a new year has begun, and we only get to see, as this verse says behind me, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. So we will see the seasons, we will see the two solstices, we will see the equinoxes about 70 or 80 times, and then we will leave this world. This world is not designed for us to be here forever, and so God wants us to make some important decisions. So every January is a milestone because the sun has completed another circuit and one more of our years is gone forever. And so on this day, I like to take a few moments and talk about looking back and looking forward. We need to look back at this last year and make sure that we have closed it out properly. There are things that we want to leave behind. There are things that we need to reevaluate and make sure that we use them well, because we are now moving into another year. And so God has told us that we need to learn to number our days. Now, I don't know how else to do that except to set certain time periods and then say, okay, I've quantified my life. My life is based on 70 or 80, 365 day periods. And during that time, there are certain things expected of me. And if I do those things, then on the judgment day, God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. But if I do not do these things, then God will say, you wicked and slothful servant. Now, it's better to break it up into small sections and look at it in that light. And that's why God says we have 70 to 80 years and we need to number those days. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, we see how God wants us to do this. So we read the verse. It says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." Part of numbering our days is understanding the things that we've done in the past that are wrong, that we are trying to remove from our lives. So let's start with that. How did we do this year? You know what your weaknesses are. You know what you struggle with. You know these doors that have been opened into some of the things that are listed here and other things. It is time for us to put away those things. We shouldn't live like that the rest of our time. But if we're going to stop doing that, we have to make a decision in verse 3 whether or not we've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. On a day like this, it's a good day. We have 70 or 80 of these days to work with. And as each one of those passes, we become closer and closer, as he says, to that period of time where we will no longer be living anymore. So as we look at the verse 3, do you believe that? Do you believe you spent enough of your past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles, and now we should be living for the will of God? And what steps have we taken? What did we do this year? What did we do this year to make certain that we closed the door on the will that we used to accomplish before we became Christian? And instead of living our lives for the will of men, living our lives to enjoy the here and the now, we are no longer going to live the rest of our time in the flesh for the lusts of men. So there has to be a pivot point where you make the decision, and then there has to be some revisiting from time to time in order to redevelop this. Now, it doesn't have to be on January 1st. I just find this to be a good time. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but over the last few days, people have been talking about how many people died this year, how many famous people died, and how the year was done with this respect and that respect, and now we're starting a new year, and we hope that this will be a better time, and that's just the way our culture operates. And so it's a perfect opportunity for us to do the same thing. And again, I know it's arbitrary. It wouldn't matter if I had this sermon in January or in March or in December. But the point is, at some point, at some kind of a basis, and I think an annual basis is a pretty good opportunity for us to do that, we need to reflect on this. So as you close out one year and you begin to start a new year, how did we do? As we look backward on what was done, what are we taking with us into the judgment day? Because we will all be manifested before the judgment bar of Christ, where we will receive the things done in the body. And if those things are good, then we will receive eternal life. But if those things are evil, then we will be destroyed. And so it becomes a very important thing. And so we have to ask ourselves that important question. Am I living? Did I live this last year in the flesh or for the will of God? Did I live this last year to do the will of man, to do the will of the Gentiles, to do the will of those who are in sin? Or am I struggling to put those things away? Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days? That I may know how frail I am. Mortality is an important thing for us to reflect upon. And that's why, again, these years as they go by, they help us to reflect on the frailty. Because we know we're not going to be here forever. And it creates a humility. And then verse 5, "Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. I really like some of the points that he makes here. He speaks about us, our days being like the breadth of a hand. He speaks about the best state is just a vapor. We're just a vapor who is here today and a grave in the veil and a memory of me. Surely we walk around like a shadow. We busy ourselves in vain. Now that brings us back to that previous verse. Everything that I do in this life for me is in vain. Now, that doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that there's no lasting benefit to it. The only things that are going to last are the times I spend in prayer, the times I spend studying the scriptures, the time I spend working with people, preaching to them, helping them to grow, the time I spend in my service to God. Those things are going to be remembered. But the rest of these things, as he says, what did I accomplish this year? As I list what I accomplished, are they material things or are they spiritual things? If you want to go back over last year and feel good about yourself, I know we're frail and I know we're a vapor, but we certainly like to have some self-esteem. There needs to be something that makes us feel like we're important enough to be here. And yet, as he goes on to say, we walk like a shadow, we busy ourselves in vain, we heap up riches, don't know who will get them. So this is a good time, a good day for you and I to reflect on what happened last year. What will we do with this year? Are we happy with what we accomplished last year? Are we making plans for changing that? We're not going to be here. We act like we're going to be here and we just live day after day after day, but there's only 70 or 80 of those, and many of us have spent at least half of them, and some of us are reaching the end. Are we ready for the vapor to disappear? Are we ready for the handbreadth to come to an end? Are we realizing, verse 4, make me to know my end. Help me to measure my days. Do we do that? I find that the best way to do that is on my birthday and on the first day of the year, I realize that another milestone, another post has been passed. And at that moment, I want to number my days. I want to quantify them. And I want to see if I have reached where I want to be. And then I can close it out. I can ask God to forgive me on my birthday or on my first day of the year. I can ask him to forgive me for those things that shouldn't have been, those might have beens, those, James chapter 4, to him who knows to do good but didn't do it, to him it is sin. That needs to be taken care of. We just can't keep living day after day after day without taking some moment to reflect. And that's why I say on our birthday, and since we all have different birthdays, I really can't choose that day. So I feel like this is a good day for all of us to quantify. How old are you today? And what have you done with this whole year that God has given you? And you have one less now before you're going to have to stand before him. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, because that is the end of every man, and the living takes it to heart. Some of us don't like to think about death. This takes us back to a sermon we had on whatsoever things are honorable, which literally means the things that are above where Christ is. It means that we're setting our minds on the things above, that our citizenship is in heaven, we're focused on heaven, and we are struggling to do what this verse is saying. This life is only a time to declare our allegiance, to declare whether we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, or we don't. Sorrow is better than laughter. For when a face is sad, a heart may be happy. The mind of the wise is in the house of mourning, while the mind of fools is in the house of pleasure. And again, I'm reminded of this article that came out. Of course, in the last few days, some very iconic figures in Hollywood died. And sometimes I just shake my head, why are these people so important? Why is it that these people who only entertain us, when they die at some big seminal event, when my mom died and I thought she was more important than the Hollywood crowd, nobody said anything. But the point is very simple. These people died. This year, a lot of interesting people passed from the earth. What is that telling me? It's telling me that my time is coming. And it's telling me that I need to be counting up my days and I need to live circumspect, which means I'm watching. I'm watching the past and I'm preparing for the future. And this is what God wants us to be doing. And this is an excellent day to do this. This is why I put out the annual Bible reading charts, which are in the back on the top there on the right-hand side. And you can choose one. I have three. One's chronologically. If you want to start in Genesis and go chronologically through the scriptures, I have a chart there. And if you do these each week, at the end of the year, you will have read the Bible through in 1 year. And I think that's a good goal to strive for. It's not an end-all. It's not perfect. But it's nice to be able to say, over the last 20 years, I read the Bible 20 times. And of course, every time you read it, you learn more and you see things. But it's just a goal. And so if you want to do it chronologically, if you want to do it from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, I have those charts back there. So these are the kinds of things that we need to be thinking about. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Now, that's looking backward. Have I been asleep this year? Spiritually asleep. Have I taken seriously the responsibilities and obligations? If I had to go before God based on my faith, my trust, my sacrifices made this last year, how would I fare? How would God feel about what I'm doing? And sometimes these are hard questions. Sometimes they're very pleasant questions. It just depends on how we spent the year. If we spent the year sacrificing and serving and growing and developing, then we can look back on the year and feel a sense of accomplishment and a sense of satisfaction. On the other hand, if we have spent the day of the year asleep, involved in worldly activities, not conquering our lusts, continuing to give in to them, it's not going to be a good year. But one thing is true. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. We had a whole series on this about probably, what, four or five weeks ago? We talked about light and darkness and wanting to see who we are and what we are and then making the necessary changes. Like James said in his book, he said, if you look into the mirror, you need to make the changes because you're going to forget what kind of a man or that you are or what kind of a man or woman that you are. And so we look into the perfect law of liberty to be doers of the word. So these, again, are things to look forward to. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The day is at hand. We need to be putting on the armor of light. But we also need to be looking backward. We need to understand that it's time to wake up. This last year, maybe we squandered it. So maybe we need to make a plan for this year. At some point, brethren, we have to take charge of our days, of our years, of our decisions, and continue to grow as quickly as we possibly can. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. This is what we would call squandering. You have an opportunity to learn. You have an opportunity to be able to teach the scriptures. But if we don't buy it up, we can sit in the pew week after week after week and not learn anything. We can sit in the pew and listen to the scriptures being proclaimed, but never make the applications or never follow through. So by this time, what should you be? What should I be? Where should we be? Where exactly would God like us to be at this point in our Christian walk? And again, if we never ask these questions, if we don't number our days, if we don't seek the wisdom to realize that time is passing and we are preparing and we need to make some decisions. And that's why annually, I think it's good to read through these scriptures, to look back, what were your goals last year? I mean, I preached this almost the same sermon last year. Did we decide we were going to do anything? Did we decide we were going to pray more? Or this year we're definitely going to read the Bible through in a year? Or I'm going to talk to my neighbor that I haven't talked to? Or I'm going to conquer this lust and I'm going to get it under control even though I haven't? How did we do? How did we do with that? I don't remember if I've ever preached this or not. You'll know if you see it, if I've preached it or not. But it's not a math problem. It is how God is going to judge us. My personal ability, the capabilities that I was born with, my wisdom, my knowledge, my ability to speak, my ability to whatever abilities that I have. And then the opportunities that God has given to me, that's going to be my responsibility. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, we learn this truth. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. Well, we know who that is. That's Jesus, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Well, we know what those goods are. It's the gospel. It's the abilities and powers of the gospel. Verse 15, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. So God doesn't expect from me what I can't do for him. He doesn't expect me, he will not hold me responsible for those things that I could never do because I was never given the gifts to do them. But he will hold me responsible for those things that he has given to me. So having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. I don't know what your gifts are. Paul lists some in Romans chapter 8. He talks about giving. He talks about serving. He talks about leading. He talks about proclaiming God's word. He talks about showing mercy. He says these are all gifts that each one of us has to one degree or another. We all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. We can't live regretting that we can't do what someone else can do. We have to live knowing that these are the things I can do and these are the things that I should do. The same thing in 1 Peter chapter 4. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards. And there's the same word that we lead, or that is describing the parable of the talents, stewardship. Gifts given, expected to be used, and not expected to be used solely upon us, but for the cause of the Lord, for the church of the Lord. When he says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, we should be ministering it to one another, he's talking about the church. The church is the body of Christ, and we are individually members thereof. And each one of us has received a gift. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the eye can see, the hands can pick things up, the feet can move, the brain can think, the tongue can speak, the ears can hear. They all have different gifts. And Paul says, because I'm not an ear, should I say I'm not of the body? No, I'm still a part of the body. And so as we look at these things, there's a question that God's going to ask us on the judgment day. I gave you these gifts. The ability to make money. Expected to use that gift to help with the church and to fund the needs of people. Those who are rich in this present age should be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That's a gift. If I have the gift to speak, if I have the gift to have hospitality, whatever it might be. And so the questions, what did we do this year? And what are we going to do next year? Yes, we all have different abilities. And how did you use them this year? This was one of your 70 to 80 years of life. God is going to make an assessment on what did I do with them. Did I give them for Him? Did I use them for Him? Did I use them on myself? Did I use my gifts and abilities to make my life better? Or did I use my gifts and abilities to make this world a better place where people that want to serve God can have an easier time doing it? So we have this ability. He who received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you have delivered to me five talents. Behold, I have gained five more talents. That's ability. If he hadn't been given the five talents, he couldn't have gained five other talents. If God has given us abilities and gifts, they're for Him. And at some point in my life, I've got to make that decision, or I'm going to go before God and I'm going to be really embarrassed because I never took the time to prepare. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to understand how frail we are. Give us a heart of wisdom so that we can understand that we are rushing toward eternity. And that when eternity dawns, there's some decisions we're going to wish we had made. And the time to make them is now, not then. This day is forever gone. This year is forever gone. If you don't like what you did this year, it was wasted. But you're going to waste next year too, unless at some point you say, enough. I'm going to make some changes. And again, January 1st, arbitrary, completely arbitrary. I'm not saying, oh, this is the best day of the year. I'm just saying this is a great day because our whole culture is focusing on it. Should old acquaintance be forgot? And let's move on into the new year and let's leave behind, as Paul said, we need to forget those things that are behind, but not before we take care of them. Then we have opportunity. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. How do we do with that this year? This past year, how many opportunities did we have? Good intentions are not fulfilling opportunities. We have to act. We have to do. Though you surely did care, Paul said, speaking of their taking care of his needs, he says, you lacked opportunity. And then making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So I take my abilities and I look for opportunities to use them. When we stand before God with our talents, which means the gifts and the abilities that He has given me, and the opportunities I had to trade and make gain, there's going to be a reckoning. All right. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I gave you these talents. You traded. You made gain with them. You used them well. You had your waist girded. You were acting like I was coming back. Well done. But he told the other person, you wicked and lazy servant. Which one? What's God going to say about this last year? What's God going to say about this next year? What's God going to say about our life? If we don't break our life up into chunks, and we don't look at each chunk to say, okay, I didn't do well here, but I'm going to do well here. And then maybe next year you look, well, I did a little better, but I'd like to do better. And then the next year you look and you say, I've done a lot better. Or you say, I really fell this year, but I'm going to do better. We have to make those kinds of choices. Because we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or evil. You can't repent without looking back. So here's some of the things that if we have opportunity and we have ability, we should be doing. Now all of us have the ability and the opportunity to put off the old man and put on the new man. As Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was in prison and you visited me. I was naked and you clothed me. And when the righteous say, Lord, when did we do this for you? He will say, when you did it one to the least of my brethren, you did it for me. And then he said, depart you cursed into the everlasting darkness, because I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty. You gave me nothing to drink. So relationships with our brethren are very important, including hospitality. And of course, evangelism, becoming a teacher, reading and learning the scriptures, putting on the whole armor of God. Did we think about these things? As we were reading our Bible, if you do your annual Bible reading, as you came to putting off the old man and putting on the new, did you make any resolutions? Did we make any decisions? I'm going to try to do better. Did we move on them? We had opportunity. Did we take advantage of them? And then, here's a few more. Praying without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Have we become more thankful to God? Do we praise God more every day and thanks for Him than we used to do? Are we struggling with that? Are we trying to pray without ceasing? Are we trying to pray every day and give our lives to the Lord? Are we adding to our faith the virtue, the knowledge, the self-control, the perseverance, the godliness, the brotherly kindness, and the love that He's asked us to add? Are we removing the works of the flesh? Are we using the gifts of Christ, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, the apostles and prophets for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ? If not, when are we going to get around to it? When are we going to do it? I mean, at some point in your life, brethren, we have to say, I'm going to take charge. I'm not just going to roll from day to day to day. I'm going to make some decisions. I'm going to set some goals. And at the end of the year, I'm going to look back. I'm going to see whether I met them or not. And then I'm going to try to do better. That's really what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 when he speaks of his own pressing on. In Psalms 90, for all of our days are passed away in thy wrath. Now, maybe we don't really understand what that is, but in Genesis chapter 3, God cursed the earth. He cursed the earth so that we don't have dominion anymore. We have serious problems in the world today because we're passing our days in God's wrath, and we're going to bring our years to end as a sigh because our bodies are dead because of sin. And even though Jesus died on the cross, He doesn't change that. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, or even by reason of strength, 80 years, yet is there pride but labor and sorrow. In other words, the best you can hope for from life is going to be to look back and look at your labor and consider those sorrowful times when the people we love die, when goals that we made plans for fell apart, when problems arose we weren't intending or we didn't intend. For it is soon gone, and we fly away. Who knows the power of thine anger? You know, we're just seeing a touch of God's anger over sin in the curses that occur in this world. When we stand before God on the judgment day, we will see His wrath in all of its power. Who knows the power of your anger? Jesus tries to teach it to us when He speaks of Him who can cast both soul and body into hell, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth and agony. Now, the time to make that decision is not when it occurs. The time to make that decision is now. Who knows the power of your anger and thy wrath according to the fear that is due unto thee? So teach us to number our days. I was looking over, I've preached a sermon, I think the first one was 1990. So what's that, 26 years? Say, boy, you preach the same sermon every year. Well, no, it's morphed through the years. It's kind of fascinating how it's morphed through the years. But some of the things that I was saying back in 1990 about goals that I was going to have, I used to talk more about me than I do now. But it was interesting to reach through those things. And what about you? I mean, what does your life, as you look back, what goals did you have in 1990 if you were a Christian? And how have you done since then? I mean, here we are so many years later. So the time has come to lay aside every weight, to lay aside the sin that so easily besets us. So therefore, let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I think about Moses sometimes. I think about how he, at the age of 40, made the decision to leave the pleasures of sin in order to suffer affliction with ill treatment with the people of God, and how he lived his life, and how he's been dead now for, 3,000, 4,000 years. And he can compare the 120 years he lived, 40 for his own self, 80 in the service of God, and now, 4,000 years later, he is still enjoying the fruits of his work. He's a great witness. And I think about him sometimes when I start feeling sorry for myself. I think about him sometimes when I feel like maybe I'd like to give more to myself and less to the Lord. And then I think about Moses, or I think about Abraham who left his country. And I think about those people at toward the end of Hebrews who were sawn in half. People who were stoned and who lived in caves, in sheepskins and goatskins. And when I start feeling sorry for myself, I get those witnesses out and they give me a good swift kick. And they tell me, you know something? You don't have it so bad. So since we have these great cloud of witnesses, and again, brethren, you got to let them testify sometimes. You have to meditate and think about what would Moses say to me? What would Paul say to me? Paul says, I'm your example. What would he say about how I'm following his example? We have such a great cloud of witnesses. So we need to lay aside every weight. All these excuses, all these reasons why we shouldn't have to do, or we'll do it next year, or we'll get around to it before we die, but right now we're not as committed. Let's lay aside the sin which so easily besets us, and let's run with patience. So, after we've laid 2016 aside, because we have to leave it, it's gone. But before you leave it, go over it in your mind and see if there's anything you need to change, if there's anything you need to repent of, if there's anything that we need to make new goals and new plans, if we're embarrassed about some of the things, some of the decisions that we made. And who wouldn't be if we're thinking clearly? Because none of us are what we want to be or what we ought to be. But here's what Paul said. I don't count myself to have laid hold yet. But one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal under the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, here's an interesting question. When did Paul do this? When did he make the decision? All right, I'm going to forget. Well, I know he didn't do it before he repented. I know you can't forget your deeds until they are completed. If there's a sin, it has to be repented of. We can't forget. In other words, I've got to take the time every night, once a month, once a week, once a year. I've got to go through and make sure, is there any I that hadn't been dotted? Is there a T that hasn't been crossed? Yes, we try to repent of every sin as we commit them. But it's not a bad idea from time to time to go back through and say, okay, is everything okay? Am I where I should be? And then, and only then, should we set that aside and move on to the next decision. So we repent of our failures and we make plans to do better. And so, what's it going to be, brethren? I know. You can say in your mind, that preacher, he's just arbitrarily picking this day. And that's fine. Yes, I'm picking this day. I could do it in May. But these scriptures are critical, and they need to be done. Annually, weekly, monthly, it doesn't really matter. But you have to make a decision. You have to set a time where you make these decisions. If you're going to do it every day, that's fine. Then this sermon is superfluous if you're already doing all these things on a daily basis. But for some of us, from time to time, it's just good to sit down and think about what the past year was like. Now, in our sermon this evening, we're going to talk about looking forward. making goals, making plans. So if you want to have a compendium of the scriptures that have to do with how we set goals and how we make plans for the future, and once again, I find this a good day to do that. But right now, we're going to pick up our songbooks, and having reviewed this last year, and having reviewed your current circumstances and situations and relationship with the Lord, how do you feel? Are we happy? Are we proud? Do we feel good about what we've accomplished? Are we nervous, ashamed, uncomfortable? What is our state of mind as we look at this last year? And what will our state of mind be next year about this year? And it's going to be the same if we don't, unless we make those changes. So as we sing number 270, if there's anyone in the audience who feels really uncomfortable right now, if it's a private situation, just take care of it with God in your own heart so that you don't have to carry it anymore. But if it's something that can only be taken care of by coming forward, then get it over with. It's got to be done. And the longer you put it off, the more guilt and grief and sorrow and difficulties we bring upon ourselves. We pierce ourselves through because we don't take care of it. And so we've got to do it, and it needs to be done. And the sooner it's done and over with, the more quickly we can have those seasons of refreshing and that peace and that forgiveness. If you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, then take careful thought. You've lived through 1 year. There's no guarantee we will live through the next year. If we can help you in any way, would you please let us know while we together stand and sing?